So friends, our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the prophet Joel in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, and then 28 through 29. If you've been coming to church lately, it's going to be different, mainly because it is so short. On average, our scripture readings over the past 3 months have been 13 slides long. Today's reading is 3 slides long, if you'll believe that. Perhaps you'll enjoy it, I don't know. So this is a passage of scripture that actually gets quoted in the New Testament in the book of Acts. It might sound a little bit familiar to you. So I'll invite you to listen for the word of God in these words of Joel. That is why the Lord says, "Turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike." Here ends our reading. May we be blessed with understanding. Would you please pray with me? Loving and gracious God, God who knows the deepest recesses of our hearts, God who knows the deepest darkness in our souls, God who sees all of this and yet has the audacity to still declare us good and continue to work with us to form us evermore in your image. We ask that as we approach this day and these words of Scripture with openness, that we may receive all the blessing that they hold for us. This we ask in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. North Prospect Union, United Church of Christ, that is us. We, as a church, we fall into a category, a flavor of Christianity that's known as liberal Christianity. Now, your political leanings notwithstanding, what the word liberal means when applied to the word Christianity, it has nothing to do with how we vote or the views we hold on various social issues. What it means primarily is that, unlike our conservative brothers and sisters, we do not take the words of the Bible to be the word of God. We don't believe, as my high school Bible study teacher hoped I would believe, that God whispered the words of scriptures into the ear of the writers, and they just simply recorded what God told them. Instead, what we do as liberal Christians, what we do is we take those very human words of scripture, those words of scripture that are formed by history, that are formed by the opinions and beliefs and values of historical people way back in the day. We take those words, we study on them, we meditate on them, and we pray on them. And as we do that, we listen for how God might be speaking to us in our own day and our own time. We take the words of Scripture very seriously, but we don't take them literally. Now, while that might sound like a subtle shift in theology, it has big implications for what we do together on Sunday mornings as a congregation. So, for instance, my job is not to stand in the pulpit and to convince you that you need to believe any particular passage of Scripture is true. Instead, what we do on Sunday mornings is we get together and we pour over a passage of Scripture to see how it might clarify for us Jesus' way to God. We come together to question what a passage of Scripture is challenging us to be and do as Christian individuals and as a Christian community. So in general, I think you could say that our focus is on being and doing, and much less on personal belief. Our goal is not to make you believe X, Y, and Z. We'd much rather get you to do A, B, and C as a faithful follower of Jesus. Now, the focus has some advantages for us. It makes us really good at looking outward. We're really good at looking around us and naming actions and systems and institutions that are unjust and unloving. Racism, homophobia, Islamophobia. Liberal Christians are really good at spotting those places where human being and doing do not live up to Jesus' examples and Jesus' teachings. And we're really good at going out to fight those ills that we see in the world. So, for example, this past month, hundreds of liberal Christian pastors and church members have flown out to Standing Rock, North Dakota, to join with the Native Americans protesting a pipeline that would desecrate their ancestral lands and threaten their water supply. These liberal Christians have correctly identified an injustice and are working hard to make it right. And that's the kind of thing that we excel at as a group. But if we were honest with ourselves, if we were truly honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that there are some things that we are not so good at, that our conservative brothers and sisters are much better at doing. Now, one of these things that we're not so good at, while we're focused on all these external problems, all these moments when human being and doing fall short of God's glory in ways both big and small, we're not so good at seeing how those external evils have internal origins. Racism, homophobia, Islamophobia, these things do not exist outside of human hearts. Yes, they can be legislated and put into law, but there are people doing the legislating. If at this moment in time, this morning, all 7.5 billion people on earth worked on their hearts, were able to change their hearts such that they could see people who look differently than them as their equals, we would leave this sanctuary this morning and racism would cease to exist. Sexism would cease to exist. External evils have internal origins. That's what today's scripture reading is all about. Speaking through the prophet Joel, God says, "Turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in grief, but tear your hearts instead," says Joel. In other words, God's inviting us here not to focus on just changing our actions. God wants us to focus on changing our hearts, on changing what's inside us. Pay no mind to your clothes, but pay mind to your heart, because external evils have internal origins. Now, if you would give me a little leeway up here this morning, I'd like to lift up a story that, although a bit crude, I think it gets to the heart of the matter. So down in Appalachia, there was a young man by the name of Sam. And Sam's family is rather poor, and so they had to make use of an outhouse. Now, Sam was not a big fan of this outhouse because in the winter it was cold, in the summer it was hot, and in all seasons it was stinky. But this outhouse, you see, it was situated right next to a creek that ran near this house, and this kind of inkling, that this thought process bubbled up inside of Sam where he said, "You know, if I were able to topple this outhouse over into the creek, I would never have to use it again." So this thought process was working inside of Sam for a long time. He thought it was a great idea. He thought it was a grand idea. And then one spring day, that creek was swelled with the melting waters of the winter, and it came up really close to that outhouse. And Sam had this great idea. He said, "You know, if I pushed it over today, it would just look like the creek had undercut it, and it would topple over in, and no one would know it was me. So when no one was looking, Sam went and he put his shoulder against that outhouse and he pushed, and he pushed, and he pushed, and he toppled it over into the creek, and he ran away giggling. So Sam spent the rest of his day playing outside, running around the fields of Appalachia. He was having a great time. He was giddy because he thought that his family would finally have to get indoor plumbing. But he walks into his house at night, and he sees his father staring at him as he walks into the door. The father says, "Sam, you need to go out to the woodshed." And Sam knew what that meant. He knew that somehow he had been caught, and he knew that it was not going to end well for him. And so Sam decided to shift strategies a little bit. He says, "Father, you remember how George Washington cut down the cherry tree, and when he admitted that he had done it to his father, when he told his father the truth, he didn't get punished? Do you remember that, Dad?" His father replied, "Yes, Sam, I remember that story, but what you need to understand is that George Washington's father probably wasn't in the tree when he cut it down." Now, while most of us have never toppled over an outhouse, we can no doubt recognize something of ourselves in mischievous little Sam. We can all look back at our lives and look and point to those moments when our thoughts and our feelings have conspired inside of us and have caused us to act outwardly in ways that we aren't exactly proud of, to do things that fall short of the high standards that Jesus has for his followers. Did you yell at a store worker because you were running late and you were feeling stressed? I've done that. Have you done that? Did you pretend like you didn't see that pregnant lady standing while you were sitting on the train because you were a little bit tired yourself? I'm not pointing anybody out, but I'm sure some of us have done that. Did you push your neighbor into the pool because you wanted to impress your cousins? I did it when I was 6. I regret it. We all have these moments in our lives, but today's scripture challenges us to turn our hearts over to God that we might be inwardly transformed, and in doing so, become outwardly loving, that we don't knock over outhouses or yell at store workers or push our neighbors into pools. Don't tear your clothes, Joel reminds us. Tear your hearts instead. So friends, in this spirit, and before we move over to communion, I want to take a couple moments of silence, and I'm going to invite you to reflect on those moments in your own life when you've seen these inward feelings and emotions and thoughts that have caused you to act outwardly in ways that are not loving, in ways that truly fall short of God's intentions for our lives, and God's intention for us to be a community of love and of mercy. So we'll just take about 20 seconds of silence, and I'll invite you to pray in your own hearts.